Check podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Donnie and Dolly podcast. Catch the show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on Check. Your local sports coverage lives here.
Well, why am I watching it?
Because it's on TV.
With Don Taylor.
Cucumber is the worst vegetable out there.
No lasting power, no staying power.
And Rick Dollywall.
45 minutes in front of a mirror, I banged it.
Here's Donnie and Dolly.
10 o'clock at downtown Vancouver. We're in the Paul Carson studio. Thanks for tuning in, folks. It's Donnie and Dolly, the team on Check. Don Taylor, along with Rick Dollywall. Ryan Henderson is our producer. He's the man at the controls, our director. The voice of God is Derek Wong. How are you?
Lovely. Busy morning.
Really busy morning. I'll go through our roster now because we just found out there's been a revision. Craig Button is going to join us just after 11 o'clock. Ross Tucker from the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, he is going to be in our next segment. And we just found out that at the bottom of the hour at 10:30, and DTMZ, Is It Just Me, Big Rye, is all going to be within the body of the next 2 hours. We just found out at the bottom of the hour, Pittsburgh Penguins president, Brian Burke, longtime friend of the show, longtime friend of ours, is going to join us again at the bottom of the hour. Canucks in Pittsburgh tonight as they continue their five-game road trip. Always interesting to hear from Berkey, and we talked about it yesterday, how appointment listening
tuning.
Back in the day.
Tuning.
Dan Russell, Sports Talk. Brian Burke every single Wednesday on CKNW. When CKNW did sports, it was fabulous. Always a lot of energy there and information.
For the media, and I think for fans as well, you wish that every GM was like Brian Burke. You know, lots of, he gives you, like you said,
he cares.
He cares. But he gives it, he'll rip the media when they got to be ripped. He's just a great interview, and over the years, like you mentioned, at 10 o'clock, I'd get by the radio at 9:30, Donnie, get ready for Brian Burke.
In your pajamas, your PJs, Coco?
My Ron Settlebauer pajamas.
Mm-hmm. With the feet in them?
Yeah.
Trapdoor, all that. Okay. Now, this is what we're going to talk to Brian about. Obviously, about how the Penguins are doing this season. They beat Arizona on Sunday, snapping a six-game losing streak. So things haven't gone perfectly, but they do hold down the second wild card spot in the East with a Chris Letang situation with the stroke back at practice 10 days later. Sidney Crosby over a point a game, as you'd expect from Sidney at age 35. When's he going to slow down?
Oh.
There's a lot there with Brian. We'll compare the two markets too, because he's been there almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Just seems like yesterday he was hired as president in February of, I want to say, 2020. Yeah, February 2021. So almost 2 years on the job. Maybe compare the two markets, which is something that Jim Rutherford is clearly doing these days. Article came out yesterday, and we'll talk to Brian about this, but in the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, a Monday article, it's by Seth Rorabaugh, and on Jim Rutherford. And of course, Jim spent several years in charge of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and Rutherford, by the way, staying in Vancouver during his team's road trip. So they talked about, the two of them had a conversation together about Jim Rutherford's time in Pittsburgh. What stood out for you when it comes to that article?
Oh, boy, a lot of stuff. Jim opened up. And by the way, Jim is not in Pittsburgh with the Canucks. He did this article last Friday with the Pittsburgh Tribune. We're going to post up some of the clips here, Donnie. He talked about, you know, his future, you know, his time in Pittsburgh. And, you know, he talked about retirement and stress and all these things that he talked about, and, you know, the Canucks capped out situation. So we're going to put up some of the clips here. But it was a very interesting. Here we go right here, Donnie. Jim Rutherford on retirement. At this point in my life, the stress is harder to handle. I'm not doing the day-to-day general manager stuff. That should relieve some of the stress, but we have our challenges. I feel big responsibility to try and make the Canucks better, still deal with the stress. If at some point that stress gets too hard to handle, that'll probably be where I'll be retired somewhere. So
yeah, and for people who don't know the way the Canucks work these days, Jim Rutherford isn't handling the day-to-day, despite what you might think.
Yeah.
What we understand is that he doesn't handle the day-to-day general manager's duties. getting in touch with other general managers, other perhaps presidents. That's Patrick Galvin's job.
Yep.
Jim Butherford giving his okay on moves. Again, that's our rudimentary understanding of what goes on with the Vancouver Canucks. But if we could throw that clip up again, if you don't mind. I mean, is it not concerning? And look, things have not gone well for the Vancouver Canucks. Yeah. Even you would agree with that.
Yep.
At 73 years old, you know, Jim Butherford dealing with stress, he says that at the bottom of this quote.
Yep.
You have to wonder, is he regretting this move? How long is he going to last here?
I'm going to tell you something, Don. About a week ago, I heard a rumor that there was going to be a front office person in the Canucks that was going to possibly retire. I didn't think anything of it. I wasn't given a name, but I mean, now you see this and you're starting to wonder.
Well, say that again, that you got word.
I talked to a lot of people over the course of a day and a week, and I just heard that there was maybe a possible front office person with the Canucks.
Well, who else would it be other than a 73-year-old?
It could be Stan Smeal, or it
could be
somebody. Yeah. There's a lot of people up in that. As Ryan said, they got a lot of people in the front office. So, anyways, you talk about stress. Look at the stress on Bruce Boudreau's face, Donnie. And I'm sure that Rutherford's going through the same stress. Elvin's going through it. You're in a hot Canadian market. This is the first time in his career that Jim Rutherford's been in a hot Canadian market.
He was
As an executive, Donnie. And don't tell me it's been 11 years of bleep hockey in this market. The fan base is mad. The fan base wants this turned around. And let's be honest, Donnie. He came in, took over a horrible situation. The previous regime had led the... Yeah, you're going to keep hearing me say it. And he said in the article, this ain't turning around today or tomorrow. It's going to take a long time to get out of the mess that was left by the previous regime, Don, whether you like it or not.
Okay, so you look at that quote. Now, here's another quote from the article. Derek, we got that? I know there's a lot of things going on here this morning, folks. There's a situation in Victoria with the power outage, we understand. But we're okay, Ryan?
All right.
Everything's good?
Yeah.
Okay. Of course, mission control, check. In Victoria.
Beautiful Victoria.
So it looks like we're working around that. If we could see that quote again. Here's the other quote. This is not anybody's fault. He's talking about the plight of the Canucks this season. These are Jim Rutherford's words. This is just something that we have all had to deal with. That's not the way I would have wanted to. Actually, hold on a second here. This is not about the Canucks' plight. This is about him leaving Pittsburgh.
Oh, right.
Okay?
Yeah.
A while back. This is not anybody's fault. This is just something that we have all had to deal with. And there was a COVID situation. Do you remember Jim caught COVID?
Yeah.
And shortly after that, he left the job. That's not the way I would have wanted to leave. I probably, for emphasis, should have ended my career in Pittsburgh after the success we had there, but it didn't play out that way.
Yeah.
So the thinking, hey, you're in your 70s, you've had success in Pittsburgh. There was the COVID situation, which nobody enjoyed. Very few people, I would think, enjoyed, including Jim Rutherford. His thinking at the time, at least part of it, was this could be it for me.
Yeah.
And he got roasted on social media for this.
Yeah.
For that one. Again, Derek, sorry, but if we could see it again. Why don't you just keep it up for the whole 2 hours here?
Yeah.
I probably should have ended my career in Pittsburgh after the success we had there. He got ripped on social media for that. Just keep that quote up for a second here, Derek.
Yeah, the key here is, though, Donnie, he calls it quits in Pittsburgh, but he didn't call the Vancouver Canucks. The Vancouver Canucks called him.
Sure.
So that's a big – if he would have called the Canucks and said, hey, I'm available, I can turn your mess around, but the owner of this team flew to his house in Carolina or North Carolina, somewhere in that vicinity, and said – down with him in 4 hours in his living room and said, come to Vancouver and turn it around. And I guess he talked him into it. And, he did not pursue the Vancouver job. It was the owner that went after him, Donnie.
It was Francesco Attolini. Yeah. Obviously impressed with the job that Jim Rutherford, his entire resume, impressed with the job he did in Pittsburgh, the job he did in Carolina. Just a huge resume and former National Hockey League goaltender. So when he says he probably should have ended his career in Pittsburgh after the success we had there, what I read into that is not so much that he made a mistake coming to Vancouver. Maybe he thinks that. I'm not so sure. I'm not Jim Rutherford, but I'm thinking what you just said is the key takeaway here. To me, this is my guess. I don't know this for a fact. He's probably offered a bunch of money to come to Vancouver.
Yeah.
Well, right? And to join that organization. Yeah. Okay, I want to retire, but man, I can't turn this around. I love the challenge of trying to turn things around in Vancouver in that market. I'd be a hero if I did. And away he goes to Vancouver.
Yep, you're right, Donnie. And maybe they underestimated Rutherford and Alvin, how long it would take to turn this around. Because, look, I'm going to tell you something, Donnie. He takes over the Canucks. The cap is flat. Everybody's capped out. No one's making any trades. The bad contracts, he can't move. Besser, Myers, Pearson, Garland, OEL, not his mistakes. And he can't move them. It's impossible to move bad contracts in today's, and we'll get into this with Brian Burke. Do you see any trades, Donnie, in the NHL? I don't see any. You know why?
Well, the Canucks have made more than anybody, nothing earth-shattering.
And Donnie, everyone's capped out. No one's got any money. No one's making any trades. And it's hard to move these. But I will give credit to Rutherford and Alvin, and I will tell you this. I know this internally. They have never blamed the previous regime for the bad contracts. This is what it is.
This group hasn't?
They haven't. They haven't.
They haven't?
No. Have you heard them?
They've all but blamed them for that.
I don't think so. I've been told by very good sources they are not
blaming. So they're happy with the situation?
No, they're not happy, but they're not blaming the previous regime. Here's where we're at. We got to turn it around. The other thing he said in that article, Donnie, and quote unquote, we'll never get as good as we should be as soon as everybody wants. That's his way of saying this is going to take a long time to get out of this mess, and it's not going to happen overnight.
Well, this mess.
Yeah.
Well, you just said it right there. That's my understanding of what I've heard from this group. And look, I wouldn't blame them. A lot of the blame does lie on the previous regime. The other thing that he pointed out in the article is that Vancouver has one. I don't want to insult anybody here, but one big league team, and that's the Canucks, and that's one of the big differences between the two markets, Pittsburgh and Vancouver. Pittsburgh doesn't have an NBA team, but they have a Major League Baseball team. They have an NFL team that everybody in that city cares about. So there's a lot of the attention goes in different directions versus one way here in Vancouver. So it's a whole lot different. You always describe it, and it's bang on, as a hot hockey market. And it is, good or bad.
Volatile, hot. They're aware. The Canucks are aware of Canucks Twitter. They're aware of the so-called negative media, although we haven't had much positive news to talk about in the last 11 years, Don, let's be honest. But they are well aware. Everybody in the league is well aware of Canucks Twitter and the negativity and the media.
Okay. Bottom line, my takeaway from that article is you hired somebody who's into his 70s, significantly into his 70s, and maybe this is getting to Jim Rutherford. I wonder if it was the best move, despite his resume.
I do. You make a great point, Donnie. I don't think Jim knew the volatile market before he got here. It is stressful. And when you're a GM and a coach of the Vancouver Canucks and they're not winning.
Canucks in Pittsburgh. Canucks were on the ice this morning. Thatcher Demko was also on the ice this morning. I think he went on before the Canucks did, but he was dressed. He has skated before, full pads. He will, however, not play on this road trip.
No,
the lower body injury he's dealing with. Canucks in Pittsburgh tonight. They've lost. The Canucks have four of their last five. Again, through the lineup, DTMZ, Is It Just Me? Coming up next hour, Craig Button, just after 11 o'clock. He's ranked the draft prospects. Okay?
Yeah, I wonder who's number one.
Right. I'll give you one guess. So we'll talk to Craig about that, among other things. Big Ride, the Twitter guy, Brian Burke at the bottom of this hour, and up next from the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, 49ers and Seahawks. Surprisingly, this Saturday, we'll talk to him about that and more. It's Ross Tucker next. Donnie and Dolly, the team, on check.
Donnie and Dolly, the team, is supported by AbleAuctions.ca. Closing your business? We can help.
That's what I'm talking about. All of today's guests, including Ross Tucker, standing by, brought to you by the Bayside Oceanfront Resort. located Oceanside in beautiful Parksville. The Bayside is one of Vancouver Island's premier getaway spots. Looking for a winter getaway? Stay at the Bayside in December or January and get 25% off your nightly room rate by mentioning Donnie and Dolly. Book your island getaway today at BaysideOceanfrontResort.com or call 250-248-8333. As we bring in from the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, CBS Sports, and Westwood One, Ross Tucker. How are you, sir?
Awesome. How are you guys doing?
Very well. Just recovering from watching the national title game last night. It wasn't great. 65-7 for Georgia over TCU. Let's focus on Stetson Bennett, 25 years old. Is he going to play in the NFL one day, Ross?
I think he will. I think he should. Yeah. I mean, it's so interesting because he was a walk-on, because he didn't play for a while. I think on some level, because his name is Stetson Bennett, there's like this perception out there that he's not an NFL player. I don't know. I think he's always played well. I mean, he moves very well. He's got a good arm. He's accurate. People are like, oh, they got such a good team around him. Yeah, because like Bryce Young at Alabama and C.J. Stroud at Ohio State, they got a bunch of chumps around those two guys. What are you talking about? All of these guys have great players around them. I think Stetson Bennett is criminally underrated, and I think that he's got a great chance to be an NFL player for probably a pretty long time. People say, oh, he's 25 years old. Quarterbacks play till their late 30s now. Mm-hmm. What are you worried about? Are you worried about whether or not he's playing in year 13? If he's playing in year 13, you missed the point. He had a great career already.
What happened to the age of, and I think you tweeted something out like this, Ross, of players who play quarterback, excel at the college level, then enter the NFL as a slot back, as a receiver?
Well, that's possible. I don't know that that'll be the case with Stetson Bennett. Mm. I don't know that he's quite that explosive, but that's still a possibility. I mean, we've seen that happen with a number of guys that are just that good of an athlete that they can play quarterback in college, but then they just don't throw it quite well enough to be able to play quarterback in the NFL, but they obviously know route combinations. Yeah. They know coverages really well. And if they're super quick and can catch and have that athleticism, absolutely they can play slot receiver.
Detroit Lions had, you know, in terms of getting into the playoffs, nothing to play for on Sunday, but they end up helping Seattle and beating the Packers in Green Bay. What does that say about the job Dan Campbell is doing in Detroit?
Awesome job. Awesome. You know, it's a shame that they didn't make the playoffs, too, by the way, because it just feels like they would have been fun if the Lions were in the playoffs, for sure. I think people would have been kind of rooting for them to have some success in the postseason, the way they had played the second half of the year. But Dan Campbell, it feels like, has effectively changed the culture in Detroit with the Lions organization. He has absolutely changed the perception of the Lions. That is hard to do. I mean, that is ingrained over like decades, but they need to take the next step next year, right? It can't be like, hey, we had a winning season and we beat the Packers in the last game. No, no, no. The time is now for the Lions. They need to be aggressive to upgrade the roster, to be able to take this thing to the next level and try to make a run at this thing the next couple of years.
Ross, Jerry Jones called the Washington loss a nightmare. Dak Prescott, 128 yards passing. I don't even want to look ahead to see if they lose to Tampa Bay and the heat on him in Dallas. How do you see that one matching up, the Cowboys and Tampa Bay?
I think it's pretty even, which I would not have said a couple weeks ago, right? Like a couple weeks ago, I would have said, oh, the Cowboys will blow them out. They're much better. And the Cowboys still are the better team. They're still favored. I think they should be. But I was talking about this on my Even Money Betting podcast today. I kind of like the Bucks getting the 3 points. I mean, I kind of feel like this is a toss-up game. I think it comes down again. I wouldn't be surprised if it went to like overtime. So if you're going to give me 3 points in a toss-up game, kind of feel like I got a good chance to win with the Bucks. And if they lose, they probably lose by a field goal and you push. So I think it's going to be an awesome game. I think it's going to be real, real bad in Dallas if they lose this game.
Oh, big time.
To have the year they had and then not even win a playoff game again, Bad.
Aaron Rodgers, his future, what do you see? What would you do if you were him?
Rick, we've had such a good season.
Yeah, and
this is really disappointing.
No stupid questions, right up to the end.
It feels like we've come a long way. You just asked a guy in his garage in central Pennsylvania whether or not I would play football next year for $60 million.
Yeah, Rick. Yes. Okay.
What would I do if I were him? Yeah. I would play for $60 million.
But a lot of people are saying
you.
Yeah, but a lot of people are saying he's done and he's not going to go, you know, they can trade him. That's what I meant. Like, what do you see happening? Do you see him in Green Bay next year?
Yeah, that's not what you meant. I mean, it's a decent attempt at a save here.
Yeah.
But you're actually making things worse. It's better if you just be like, yeah, you're right.
Okay.
You're right. That was a stupid question. Now you're trying to skirt around
okay.
it. Okay. You're having a terrible segment. That's okay. I am a professional, okay?
Yeah.
I will pick up where you left off. Okay. Now, in all sincerity, everybody knows I love Rick. I always get one email. You're really mean to my guy, Rick. Rick and
That's
I
right.
are boys.
That's
I'm just
right.
messing around, okay?
That's right.
Don't
you
send me that email. Just know that Rick and I are boys. No, Rodgers, okay, there's a couple different things at play here, right?
Yep.
Rodgers is guaranteed $60 million. He's not retiring, okay?
Right.
Not only does he want the money, but he doesn't want his last game to be losing at home to the Lions to miss the playoffs. Plus, I think with these young receivers like Watson and Dobbs, I think he probably thinks they can be pretty good next year. So Rodgers is coming back, okay? The Packers can't cut him. It's too cost prohibitive. They really can't even trade him. I mean, they can, but if Rodgers tells the other team, yeah, I'm not playing there, they're not going to pay him $60 million for a guy that doesn't want to be there. So Rodgers holds all the cards here. You can't cut him and give him $60 million. That's actually, Rick, to your question, that's actually what Rodgers would love.
Yeah.
$60 million to just go do whatever it is that Rodgers does in the offseason, not happening.
Okay, Seattle, this part of the world, Seattle at San Francisco, Ross, who would you rather have at this point in a playoff game at quarterback, Brock Purdy or Geno Smith?
Can you imagine, Donnie, week one asking me that question?
I know.
That is unbelievable. I mean, that is sports right there. That is just wild.
Is that a better question than Rick's?
So much better. So I think it's a good question.
That's all I need.
Because it's like giving me some pause. Mm. The idea of what would I do if I could get $60 million to play football for 5 months? Let me ponder that one, Rick. No, Donnie, you typically ask good questions.
Hey.
You had a bad episode a couple weeks ago. I can't remember what happened. You had a bad one.
Yeah.
But you've only had like one bad one in your whole career. Rick was on a good stretch of asking good questions, kind of staying out of the firing line. It's okay. It kind of makes me this brings back good memories, Rick.
Yeah.
For you to ask a guy that loves and lives and breathes football if he would play $60 million for next year.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
I read a lot of stuff on the weekend, Ross, about his future. That's why I asked.
Garbage. That's a good point that you made that up. It's all garbage, okay? Like him with his arm around Randall Cobb.
Yeah, that's it.
Like,
good
that's
shot.
It.
Good shot.
Would be shocked. You know what we're going to be doing? Next year at this time, we're going to have our fourth annual What Will Aaron Rodgers Do This Offseason?
Yes.
It'll be very – I'm already excited. And we'll probably have Jim Harbaugh in there and Sean McVay.
Yeah.
And we can just do this every year for the rest of our lives till we all die. Just every year, is Jim Harbaugh going to stay at Michigan? Is he going to go to the NFL? Sean McVay, I don't know. Then next year, even if Sean McVay takes this year off, next year it'll be, does he want to come back? I don't know. It is nauseating. Okay.
Okay. How about Purdy and Smith?
Who?
Brock Purdy and Geno Smith.
Yeah.
Hey,
you know, the original question. We got left off.
hey, hold it a second.
Rick's got you rattled.
No.
I'm going to go Geno Smith. He had a really good year. 70% completion percentage. Broke the Seahawks record. But he hasn't been playing his best as of late. And Brock Purdy's good. Like, Brock Purdy's legitimately a good player.
Okay, we had several emails over the past few days, people saying, I used my front page story because of Ross Tucker's recommendation, and you wanted to talk some more about my front page story.
I even got a text. Ryan, well, you know what? What happened, by the way? I've been doing some funny stuff this segment. I haven't heard Ryan laugh yet. That's my highlight of the whole show, is when Ryan laughs when I make fun of Rick in the background. I can't turn the volume up on Ryan's giggling, please.
He's actually doing something right now.
Turn the volume up on the Ryan giggling. At any rate, listen, I got a code for you guys. Mm-hmm. I asked the bosses of the company, which is kind of me, if we could get a code, Vancouver 10. So myfrontpagestory.com, you get 10% off what's already the greatest Valentine's Day gift of all time. Don't be a Rick. Be a Donnie. Myfrontpagestory.com. Use the code Vancouver10. Best Valentine's Day gift. You guys have Valentine's Day up there, right?
Yeah, we do. Yes.
I knew it. Myfrontpagestory.com.
Okay. We'll ask you about Rodgers and Lovie Smith next week.
Hold it a second. When you Google Aaron Rodgers' future, 500 things pop up.
Would you let it go here?
Look at this. Is Aaron Rodgers a part of the Packers' future? Go Google it. There's a ton of stories that pop up.
I think he's got other things to do.
It's a legit question, Ross.
You just admitted on your own show that you only read headlines. You don't actually read the words and sentences below them that explain the situation.
There's a ton of speculation about his future, Ross.
Rick, get on the phone and find out who's playing next game for the Vancouver Giants, because I need to know which 16-year-old to bet on for the Giants, because Bublé is going to be there.
No, the big question is Bo Horvat. Is he getting traded, Ross? That's the big story in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, right there.
I think they should trade him.
There you go. Okay. You're not alone. That was very good. Ross, next week, thanks so much. Fun as always.
All right, see you, dudes.
Yeah. All right. Ross Tucker Football Podcast, CBS Sports, Westwood One, and he's right. That $60 million is guaranteed for Aaron Rodgers. Still a question of where he's going to play,
I guess. Thank you. It was a legit question.
Okay, we'll give you that. Poll question. We'll deal with it next. Donnie Dolly, the team on check. Able Auction specializes in helping British Columbia-based business owners close their business and sell their assets in a timely, orderly manner.
Online events for everything from machine shop and manufacturing auctions to industrial equipment, retail inventories, or any other type of business assets, Able Auctions can help.
For a free confidential consultation on getting your business assets sold, please email sales@ableauctions.ca. That's sales@ablauctions.ca. All of our guests today on this Tuesday, including Brian Burke, standing by, brought to you by the Bayside Oceanfront Resort. Book your island getaway today at BaysideOceanfrontResort.com, or you can call 250-248-8333. Canucks continue their five-game road trip after losing the other night in Winnipeg, tonight in Pittsburgh against the Penguins. We're joined now by friend of the show, president of hockey operations for the Penguins, Brian Burke. Brian, thanks for doing this, sir. How are you?
I'm good, Donnie. How are you? Did you just say that people come on the show get a gift? I've never gotten a bloody thing.
Well, we'll work on it for you. We'll get back to you on that, Brian. Hey, almost 2 years on the job. Your anniversary will be on February.
Yep.
Almost 2 years on the job. What sticks out for you about the Pittsburgh market, Brian?
Well, first off, thanks for having me on. There's so many positives. Like, I didn't know Pittsburgh as a market. I think if you haven't worked in a city and you don't know it that well, you're used to flying in, playing the game and flying out and not spending any time there at all. So I didn't know the city at all. And I didn't realize how nice it was. The people are really nice. It's beautiful. The bridges and the rivers and the way the city's been rebuilt and everything, and people are really nice. And I'm thrilled. We all really enjoy it immensely. It's a great place to play. Yep. So if you're looking at things like that players talk about, there's lots to do, lots of restaurants, the taxes are low, crime is low, travel's good. There's a lot to like here. It's a great city. I really enjoy it.
You had me at the taxes are low. Hey, Brian, your team holds down the second wild. You know what it's like in BC. Your team holds down the second wild card spot in the East. You just snapped a six-game skid with a win against Arizona on Sunday. What's your opinion of the way your team's playing?
Well, we've been streaky, which is not a part of our DNA. We've been in the playoffs for 16 straight years. We're The Athletic rated us as the most successful NHL team in the league for 15 years. So we're not used to long streaks of losing. Now we're used to winning more. This year we've had 2 six-game losing streaks, which is not typical of our team, but finally snapped out of it the other day. We have a good team. We have a good coach. We're a contender. We just have to get more consistent, I think, is our biggest challenge.
Hey, Brian, you know the fan base in Vancouver not happy right now. It's been 11 years, actually, Brian. It's been a tough stretch here in Vancouver. Everybody wants this to turn overnight, and you know it doesn't turn overnight. Hey, Brian, I'm going to ask you about the salary cap. It's not going up. It's staying flat. There's not a lot of trades. Is this ever going to change? Like, how do you start making some big deals? Everybody wants trades.
Well, first off, I think the salary cap is going to go up. And again, the information I've gotten from the NHL is the salary cap is going to go up. Maybe not so much this year.
Yeah.
But over the next few years, it's projected to go up 3 to 5 million is what I read.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's accurate or not, but that's what I was told. So that'll bring some relief. I think teams have to get more prudent with their long-term deals so that you're not choking on a deal for 4 to 5 years after you sign it. But, no, I know the fan base is impatient. That's tough. It's tough to fix your team when you're capped out.
Brian, Jim Rutherford did an article in the Pittsburgh Tribune today, talked about, you know, stress levels in Vancouver. It's not an easy market. No one knows it better than you. It's a hot Canadian market. You know, what advice would you have for Jim? I mean, he basically said in the article that, you know, the stress is there and, you know, say he even talked about potential retirement.
He what?
He talked about, what was the quote? If at some point the stress gets too hard to handle, that'll probably be where I'll be retired somewhere, is the quote from Jim in the newspaper in Pittsburgh today, Brian.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, how would you compare the stress level in Pittsburgh to the stress level in Vancouver?
Well, first of all, you just lost me for about 45 seconds, so I have no idea what you said. But the notion of, I don't think Jimmy Rutherford's thinking about retirement. I think he's a junkie like I am. He's a lifer.
Mm-hmm.
He could have retired before now. He's won three cups. He's in the Hockey Hall of Fame. He could have retired a long time ago. I think he just likes doing the job like all of us. And it's part of his competitive nature. This is... Losing is not easy. Fixing teams is not easy in a hard cap system. These teams are selfish. They watch you play. They scout. They watch everything you do. It's hard to improve, and it's really difficult to do. And I wouldn't have any. I think the world of Jim Rutherford. I'm not going to offer him any advice. Or Patrick Alvin, who I work with here, who I think the world of. It's just hard when you're changing your team. It's been the same for us. I've been here. This is my third year. We have not been able to make major structural changes to our team either because we've kept the band together and we're capped out. It's really hard to do, and there's no quick fix.
And, Brian, going back to the previous question, the stress levels in Pittsburgh versus Vancouver.
The stress levels in Pittsburgh or Vancouver, I think the stress levels are the same everywhere. The pressure's on us all. It's the same pressure. You know, you win two cups in a row in Tampa. You miss the third. You don't win in the third year. All of a sudden, now the pressure's on, right? Pressure doesn't change. It's like a glacier in your backyard. It's always there. It's always emitting great pressure. It's always pushing you. It's part of this giant pressure that's built into the job. And I remember winning the Stanley Cup in Anaheim. Remember, I woke up 2 or 3 days later, and I said, I got to fly to Montreal to sign Jaguar, to sign J.S. Jaguar. And my wife at the time said, Can we please enjoy this cup for more than 2 days? So the answer is no. The pressure doesn't change. The noise level changes. There's less noise.
Mm-hmm.
Certain Canadian markets are, you know, Vancouver. I've said this before, so I'm not being critical. I love Vancouver. I loved working there. I worked there twice, loved it both times. There's a schizo edge to the media in Vancouver. there's a mainstream media in Vancouver, and then there's a fringe end, edge, that dominates the social media, and you have to just learn to tune that out. You just have to ignore it.
Hey, something you said a couple of answers ago, Brian, the way the NHL is set up these days with the hard cap, it's hard to turn things around versus, let's say, the old days when you could make a trade much more easier. Do you like the way the NHL is set up these days versus what used to be?
Yeah, I miss the flexibility, but yeah. The hard cap is the greatest thing that ever happened in pro sports is a hard cap. Because now it's truly GM mano a mano. Now you got to beat a guy. You can't just outspend him like you used to be able to. So, yeah, I miss the flexibility at times. But you can maintain flexibility if you don't get capped out. Like, there's no reason for this many teams to be at the cap. Mm-hmm. Like, you should be at the cap if you have a good team. If you don't have a good team, you shouldn't be at the cap. And you should have flexibility. So that's the puzzle to me is, how are 20 teams capped out? Out of 32 teams. How can 20 teams, are there 20 elite teams? How can they be capped out? I understand why the Tampa Bay Lightning are capped out.
Mm-hmm.
They've done an unbelievable job. I understand why we're capped out. Not sure why some other teams are capped out. But the flexibility part of it, yeah, do we miss that? I wouldn't trade anything. The league getting the hard cap is what saved this sport.
Sidney Crosby, Brian, 35 years old, 47 points, 39 games. Where's his game at?
He's just amazing. Like, I thought I knew how good he was.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really know how good a player is until you're on his team and travel with him and watch him practice and watch him play. This guy's the best player I ever had. And you think back, Donnie, you know some of the players I've had.
Pavel,
that's a pretty good players, including several of them in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's the best player I ever had. And the work ethic and the approach to just to watch him practice and watch him skate and just the attention to detail and the work is just phenomenal. So it's been a joy. He's fantastic.
And Chris Letang, Brian, suffers a stroke, back to work, back at practice 10 days later. What does that say about him, and how scary was that situation?
Well, it's scary because you hear that it's a word that evokes lots of fear.
Yep.
You say if someone has a stroke, and like, oh, my God, oh my God. And that's that word carries a connotation and a notion of risk and damage and horrible things are going to happen, when in fact it was not that serious, thank God, for Tanger. And he was able to compete like 2 weeks after it happened. So fortunate for him and for us. He's been terrific for us. He's a warrior. He's a workhorse. He's a gym rat. Like, we just had the whole team go to his dad's funeral yesterday. We flew back after the funeral last night, which is Pittsburgh Penguins. That's what we do. That's the way things work in Pittsburgh. And the whole team went. And hopefully Tanger will be back soon. But it's been great for him as, you know, just to have him as a player and a person.
Brian, thanks for doing this. And thanks for the kind words about the Vancouver media. Hey, by the way, Berkey, have you read Dan Russell's book? You're in it. No? Very good. It's a good read.
You're a big part of it, Brian.
I wouldn't be surprised that it's good, because Dan's a good guy. But
yeah.
I have not read it yet. I will get it now. I'm reading John Shannon's book.
He's a regular on this show as well. We talked about this earlier, how Rick and I and everybody else, Wednesdays, CKNW with Dan was such a big deal, and so is having you on today. Brian, thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks, guys. Nothing will ever compete with what Dan Russell did on radio in Vancouver. It's not going to happen again.
We're trying our best. Thanks, Berkey. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Brian Burke, Pittsburgh Penguins president of hockey operations.
Just we talked about Donnie capped out teams, and it's amazing how many teams are struggling with the cap and the lack of trades. And when you look at the Canucks not getting out of their mess, there's the reason why.
Yeah, and he said it there. He misses the flexibility.
That's
and you know, there's a part of them that part of Brian and every general manager. You know, they'd love to wheel and deal like they used to do back in the old days.
Yeah.
And you could turn your team around fairly quickly, or at least you could make an attempt at turning your team around fairly quickly. But when you look at the finances of the National Hockey League, the cap's the better way to go.
Yeah.
You know, interest levels are up, ratings, all of that. It's the league is more competitive, but you do miss those old school days when you could run and gun with the moves you make and make quick moves, make big blockbuster trades. You don't see that anymore.
You don't see
financially
it anymore.
Though, it's a little bit more boring.
Yeah.
More, no question about it, but it is the way to go. All right. A break. Big Riley, Twitter guy next. Donnie and Dolly, the team on check. Able Auction specializes in helping British Columbia-based business owners close their business and sell their assets in a timely, orderly manner.
Online events for everything from machine shop and manufacturing auctions to industrial equipment, retail inventories, or any other type of business assets, Able Auctions can help.
For a free confidential consultation on getting your business assets sold, please email sales@ableauctions.ca. That's sales@ablauctions.ca. Crazy, crazy day here on Check TV. Donnie Dolly, the team on Check right now. Big Rye, the Twitter guy. As the craziness continues, do I say this, Ryan?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it. We've had some technical problems. I know you told me not to say anything. We apologize. All systems go now, though, right? Have I got that right? We think.
Sure. One of the three thrusters.
Fill everybody with confidence.
One of the three thrusters is working at the moment, I think. No, but ultimately, no matter how you're getting the show, it's now running, clearly, because you're hearing us. Let me get to this.
Are they watching us?
However they're getting it. Maybe you're like Rick, cuddled around a radio with your little footy pajamas.
Listening to Foster Hewitt.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hamster on a wheel.
Listening to Jim Robson. The golden vocals of Jim Robson.
Yes. Okay. Let me get to this. I don't know if you guys probably haven't been following this, unlike me. This Carlos Correa story in the MLB. So for
which
those
Carlos are we talking about?
Carlos Correa.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Formerly, of course, of the Houston Astros. Now formerly of the
Twins.
San Francisco Giants,
New
York Mets.
Back to the Twins.
The Twins, and now back to the Twins. So here, let me start with this. So this is from Jeff Passan. Today, shortstop Carlos Correa and the Minnesota Twins are finalizing a six-year, $200 million contract. Sources tell ESPN the deal is a vesting option that can max out at $270 million. It is pending a physical. Now, a lot of people, of course, are bringing out the physical part because if you have been following this story, you've seen this timeline, which is summed up perfectly here in this tweet from Kelsey Wingert Lynch.
Yeah.
This is the story. On November the 7th, he opted out of a deal he already had with the Twins. He opts out, leaves. I'm going to test free agency. I'm a big shot. He signs for $350 million in 13 years in San Fran. That was on December the 13th. In between that time and the 21st of December, the Giants say they got a problem with his knee, his surgically repaired knee. They don't want to go that long. He basically failed the physical is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So the New York Mets come on board and go, oh, for sure. We're going to sign him, of course. So they sign him 12 years, $315 million. Again, oh, we're the big shots here. Their owner comes out, how thrilled they are with the deal. His agent, of course, is yapping, saying there's no problems with the knee. Then the Mets have a problem with the physical again. So today, he agrees to a six-year deal worth $200 million. So for those of you keeping score at
he
home.
He comes out ahead.
Well, how do you figure?
Average annual value.
Average annual value is higher, yeah.
Significantly higher.
But Donnie, he's still losing. I mean, it can go up to $270 million. So he's still losing a little under $100 million from when the deal he originally signed. So, yeah, I know his annual value is going up, but total money, he's not making what everybody thought he once was.
Long-term security.
Exactly. And who knows? He might still fail the physical here with the Twins. Now, the only reason why people think that that's not going to happen is because of the fact the Twins already had him in their organization. So they know what's going on. They're clearly comfortable with the knee enough that they're willing to sign him for only 6 years in comparison to 13.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just been such a wild, bizarre situation, especially Scott Boras is the most influential agent in MLB, arguably sports, to be honest.
Going back to A-Rod.
It's crazy how much he deals with. He, of course, came out and said, no, there's no problems here, no problems here. Well, Scott, two teams have had a problem with that knee. And maybe it's just the length of the contracts they gave
the
player.
You know what? He's still fine. Like, you could argue he's coming out ahead, average annual value.
I know what you're going to say. A lot of this is in one year and out the other.
Yeah.
Because it's still arguably.
Yeah, thanks for bringing this up.
It's still good.
That's what we strive for on this show. No, in one year and out the
it's
other.
It's still an interesting story because I can't recall a time where a player has failed a physical twice. Two different teams in one free agency period.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unheard
of.
And
then bounces back to the team he started out
with. And, I mean, honestly, now, if you're a Twins fan, how do you react to this?
It depends how he plays.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a little frosty off the start. You left us, because last year, don't forget, he signed deep into free agency with the Twins.
Mm.
Right? So Minnesota kind of almost helped him out. Like, yeah, okay, come on board. So if you're a Twins fan...
It all depends on how he plays.
I don't know. Like, if I was a Twins fan, I'd be frosty.
Are you kidding me?
You thought the grass was greener on the other side. Now you have to come crawling back to us?
So if he starts playing well and they're
in
first place, oh, give me a break.
I still might be angry.
No, not a chance.
How do you think Johnny Gaudreau feels going to Columbus right now? Yeah, he got the money, but you said the grass is greener on the other side. You know,
these guys make decisions.
These guys make decisions, and you got to live with them.
Do you think anybody will care? We all think the JT Miller deal is horrible, right?
Yeah.
Do you think anybody will care if they end up playing very, very, as a team, playing very, very well, contending for a Stanley Cup? Do you think that'll get brought up? Of course it won't. You're dreaming.
What's your point? I don't understand your point.
Well, no, you're saying that people would still be pissed even if the team is playing well?
Yeah.
No.
I would. As a purist, this guy
you'd be lining
spat
up for
in my
season
face
tickets.
As a fan.
How could you not understand what I was getting at?
I don't know. It's
been a busy day.
I kind of dozed out midway through your answer. It was a little lengthy.
Well, join the club.
Okay. But anyway, that's the latest with Carlos Correa. Who knows? Like I say, maybe something will happen with the Twins and he won't be able to sign a contract there. There was a lot of Mariners fans that were holding out hope he was going to somehow wind up down the I-5.
Let's get to something local here.
Yeah, let's move on from Carlos.
Because I know you have a very interesting
story.
I do.
The local soccer team, one of them at least.
Side.
The MLS club, the Vancouver Whitecaps. If you guys can believe it, they're in preseason training. That happened over the weekend. They took their physicals. They were back on the pitch at UBC yesterday. But something that kind of was squeaked under the radar a little bit. Manuel Veth here, who covers soccer.
Slipped under the radar.
Yeah.
Whatever. Lickety split under the
radar.
Don't squeak. How about that?
Yeah, you slip it.
Any of the words work here. Anyway, Manuel Veth pointing out the fact that the Whitecaps announced earlier today, this was yesterday.
Manuel Veth looks like Conan O'Brien.
You think so?
And that, yeah.
Yeah, maybe a little. Yeah. Anyway. That the Whitecaps have ended their partnership with Bell.
Wow.
What a shame. Source tells
me. How did they find out about that?
Good point. Actually, good riddance. Time of Your Life was being played at practice yesterday.
As the information was being delivered.
Yeah. But Manuel adds, source tells me the club is currently in discussions to bring in a new shirt sponsor, and the club has received interest from both national and international brands. So a few things here.
That's disappointing.
A few things here. First of all, it is a bit weird timing-wise that you're now into training for your next year, and the brand on the front of your kit is gone. Like, that's a bit surprising to me.
Bell probably, you know, surprised them.
They might have. And, I mean, let's be honest. Like, I don't know if this is peeling back the curtain here. That relationship hasn't been overly strong for a number of seasons. They, in terms of the radio deal and everything surrounding...
Naming rights at BC Place, there was something there.
Because TELUS was involved, but then Bell was, of course, not allowing that. It hasn't been great. Anyway, now, the second piece to this is, who should we talk to about applying to get Donnie and Dolly as the official kit sponsor of the Vancouver Whitecaps?
Yeah.
Or Rick's face, maybe.
Yeah.
I thought the Bell uniforms were clear, crisp. I mean, Donnie's the...
What are you talking about?
Just I thought they looked good.
Bell, I hate that.
It was good. It was a good, clean look.
The actual uniform itself,
Their most recent uniform, I think, was their best. They were hearkening back to the 86er days, kind of, right?
With the hoops.
With the hoop.
Yeah. It was a good, clean look.
There's been a lot of looks that I've kind of gone, really, for the Whitecaps, but
if Czech did sponsor the Whitecaps, would the power be on it? BC place? Well, do we know?
That, I mean, hey, maybe BC Hydro, if the money they're taking off check today, they could...
Hydro is... I'm not going to lie to you, folks.
Can you put up the tweet again, if you don't mind? And this is the disappointing part for me. On the bottom, club has received interest from both national and international brands. Local.
Who's local?
Martini's Restaurant. There's something...
Which just closed, by the way. Delaney's okay to tire and Langley.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay.
Able Auctions.
Whistler.
What about just a ring of sponsors? Instead of one big sponsor, but just a bunch of sponsors.
Al's Corner Store in North Delta. You know,
Bashant Motors, give everyone a car.
Yeah.
You know, Connor Garland.
Well, that would be a bit expensive.
Get traded.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows what happened from there?
We'd love all of those people aboard.
Ultimately, though, there's no sponsor that you should think is not possible. I mean, Manchester United a few years ago, and it was hideous. Had a massive Chevrolet logo.
Oh, that was bad.
It was so bad.
Yeah, they should have done something with the colors.
Oh, man. We've talked about this. The NBA has put logos on jerseys, but they've adapted to what the jersey looks like. So if you have a yellow logo, but you're on a green Celtics jersey, you go white or something, right?
Yeah.
That's tasteful. Having a Chevrolet, oh, God, that was bad. And nothing against really Chevrolet, but it was just really it just seemed.
There goes your car deal.
Yeah, exactly. It just seemed.
What about local Umbro on Anderson Island?
That's a manufacturer.
That's international, though, isn't it?
No, that's local.
No, that's an international brand, Ricky.
Okay, anyways, those guys could do it. Lululemon, someone like that. Anyone
again,
Lululemon could be. I mean, that's
they
possible.
Could be Lululemon.
Something hokey, fun.
As I said, Dollywell's
Face.
You know,
the pita place across from BC Place.
Yeah, whatever.
Or shawarma.
Yeah. Or one of our local sponsors, as I mentioned.
Okay.
Coming up next, we talk with TSN Director of Scouting, Craig Button. He's released his latest.
The hot dog place?
What's the hot dog place? Costco?
No. I'm having a brain fart here.
Orange Julius? New York Fries?
Mr.
Tubesteak?
Yes, New York Fries. Mr. Tubesteak. There you go. Also known as the hot dog place.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't be a bad name.
No kidding.
Mr. Tubesteak. Think what you could do with that.
Yeah.
As a logo?
You have a think on that and get back to us. Craig Button joins you next. Donnie and Ollie, the team on check.
All today's guests, including Craig Button, standing by, brought to you by the Bayside Oceanfront Resort. Located oceanside in beautiful Parksville, the Bayside is one of Vancouver Island's premier getaway spots, one of BC's premier getaway spots, one of Canada's premier getaway spots. Book your island getaway today at BaysideOceanfrontResort.com or call 250-248-8333. Special deal for viewers and listeners of Donnie and Dolly as we bring in TSN Scouting Director Craig Button. Craig, thanks for doing this. How are you?
I am very well. How are you gentlemen today?
Good.
Lovely.
Good.
Lovely.
Craig, your latest draft rankings are out. NHL draft rankings are out. I see you're excited about that. Canucks right now, if they stood pat after the lottery, would pick seventh. This draft, the quality of this draft, can the Canucks get someone decent, a player of decent quality at number seven?
Oh, I don't think there's any question they can, and they will if they stay in that range. I think this draft has a lot of really good top-notch forwards. And, you know, it starts with Connor Bedard, but after that, you know, there's some real terrific forwards. You know, I think the dilemma, and it's not always about the seventh pick or the eighth pick or wherever Vancouver finds themselves picking. It's, you know, trying to bolster, your prospect pool. They have some really good forwards on their team. You know, they signed Mikheyev and Kuzmenko. I'm a broken record. But until they get defensemen that can come in and make a discernible difference to their team, they're not going anywhere. They're simply not going anywhere. Now, whether you got to use that pick to get a defenseman, whether you use some of your prospects or current players to get a defenseman, that's what you have to do. You will get quality, in my view, real good quality, real significant quality, picking in the top 12, 13 players of this year's draft.
You recently described, and Connor Bedard is at the top of your list, no surprise there, you alluded to that there. Connor Bedard at the top of your list, recently described him as a generational talent, a la Connor McDavid. What makes him a generational talent? And is there anything he needs to work on, to improve on?
Yeah, well, the great thing about great players is they're always looking to be better, whatever it may be. I mean, Connor McDavid a season and a half ago was looking to improve on his one-timer, right? Players are, Austin Matthews was looking to improve on his all-around defensive game. So I don't think that there's any player of that ilk that isn't looking to be that much better all the time. Donnie and Rick, nobody wants to have the generational word be overused because then it diminishes, the application of it. And, as time was going on, I was asking myself, I was straddling the line, even during the World Junior Tournament, I kept talking about Connor Bedard hasn't done something at this age with respect to dominating the tournament since Wayne Gretzky in 1978 at the World Junior Tournament. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I keep comparing him to Wayne Gretzky, who absolutely was a generational player. And I go, how can I keep straddling that line? I finally walked over the line and into the generational room. And I think Connor Bedard belongs in it. When you think that everything he's done, getting exceptional status, and from the minute he stepped into the Western Hockey League, the minute, all he has done is, like, it's one thing to meet the expectations. He's exceeded them. He's been dominant from day one. He was dominant in his return on Sunday in the Western Hockey League. And I don't see anything that's going to tell me he's going to be anything less than dominant. So if I get the specifics on things you got to improve, I think like a player that is yet to, he'll turn 18 at the end of July. 18, that's when he'll turn 18. All those little things, those becoming a little bit quicker, becoming, just a little bit faster. He already has, he's already a really good skater. And, but getting a little quicker, getting a little bit more nimble are things you're going to absolutely help him because he's already elusive. He's already really hard to keep under wraps. And, we were standing on the set prior to the gold medal game and we were getting ready for the pregame. And, that was when I talked about Connor and, made the case for him to be a generational player. And, there's good debate. There was a lot of people up there and there was good debate. And people said, what about his skating? What about his shot? Like, how big is he? And I said, well, why don't we ask Mr. Bob McKenzie here what they said about Wayne Gretzky? Because Bob watched him at that age. And this was Bob's, I'll paraphrase it. Bob said, they said he wasn't a great skater, didn't have a great shot, wasn't that big. We'll get eaten alive in pro hockey.
Craig, what is going on in the Western Hockey League? Kamloops sent 10 picks, 4 first-rounders. Ostapchuk got 3, 8 pieces to Vancouver, 3 first-rounders. Do you approve of this? These teams, that's a lot of draft picks. And at the Western Hockey League level, Craig, you cannot build without going through the draft.
Yeah, Rick, what I would say to you, I mean, there's only going to be – I mean, Kamloops is hosting the Memorial Cup, and I get it. But Kamloops has won 3 Memorial Cups. And, yes, they won one on home ice. And, you start to look at, where their team is at, and it's a good team. Obviously, it's a better team with Olin Zelliger. I hope the people in Kamloops are going to be satisfied with a team that's going to be really struggling for the next number of years, when they graduate players and they don't have any players coming in. I've seen it too many times. I saw it in Saskatoon. I saw it in Swift Current. We're going to see it again. And there's no question about it. And what I really do is I give credit to teams. I give credit to Dennis Williams and Everett, that recognizes, I give credit to the Vancouver Giants. They recognize, where are we? Okay, we're not really a contender. Let's not kid ourselves. So here's the word I'm going to use. So let's exploit, this incredible appetite that teams have to think they can all win. All I know is the teams making the big moves are giving up a tremendous amount. There will only be one champion in the Western Hockey League. There will only be one Memorial Cup champion. And there will be a whole lot of pain down the road for a number of these teams.
Yeah, well, Craig, go look at Winnipeg Ice, their next 4 drafts. They don't have a first, second, third rounder for the next 4 years. I mean, they're mortgaging everything for today. I want to ask you, Craig, Jim Rutherford did an article in the Pittsburgh Tribune today, talked about the stress, and possibly retiring someday. And can you give us some insight into being a GM in a Canadian market, how tough it is? I mean, look, Craig, it's tough. It's tough. I mean, I think they're realizing how tough of a market Vancouver is. It's been a lot of losing hockey here for a long time.
So, Rick, let me, and Rick and Donnie, I'll put this question to you. So what do we call a tough market? A market that's passionate about hockey? A market that knows hockey? A market that demands a better hockey team? If that's tough, then boy, oh boy, then you're in the wrong line of work if you want to be a GM or a coach in those places, right? You know, the beautiful thing about working in a Canadian market is you're working in markets where hockey matters, you know? So, like, you know, now we're going to – now we have people complain, oh, geez, the market's so tough working in Canada. I was thrilled to work in Calgary. I was thrilled to work every day. Were the demands really significant? Yeah, I would say that if you're a competitor, the demands are significant anywhere you are because the job is to position your team to compete and to ultimately win. So, you know, all this kind of complaining about the Canadian markets, like, I hate it. I think it's just, I think what it is unnecessary complaining. You don't want to be here. You want to complain about the markets. Then just leave. Then just step away and leave. Because whatever market you choose to be in, it'll come with its advantages. It'll come with its challenges. But to be in a Canadian market where it matters and people know the game and demand and want a good team, wow. I mean, if you're complaining about that, then I don't think there's anything that'll ever make you happy.
Craig, Rick loves it when I say this. The opposite of love isn't hate. It's indifference. You don't want to be in an indifferent market. You want some passion out there, even if it means the people are angry. Donnie,
let me add to that.
Yes.
I lived it.
Yeah.
Think about this. There was no hockey in Minnesota, the state of hockey in the United States, for 7 seasons. Mm. Our team in Minnesota left to go to Dallas. I experienced that indifference.
Right.
I saw what it was like. You never want to be there. They lost hockey. I tell young people, no, you know there was no NHL. They go, what? What do you mean there was no? 7 seasons, no NHL hockey in Minnesota. You never want indifference.
Craig, one more, very, very quickly. But this Seattle team, they win 4-0 in Montreal. They won 5 straight, 26 goals in those 5 games. Third in the Pacific. Quickly, what are you seeing?
Well, you're talking about a way more capable offensive team. And Ron Francis, you know, set out in the offseason to improve the offense. I mean, they were a team that couldn't overcome weak goaltending last year. Their goaltending has been, you know, just okay would, I think, be a compliment. So the fact of the matter is that they have a really good offensive group that can take advantage. I thought prior to Christmas that we might see a real not a real drop-off, but a fall-off in their play. We haven't seen it, and I think a big part of that is the offense. And, you know, as long as they stay healthy, I think this is a team that, while I may have been a little bit of a doubter prior to Christmas, they're proving me wrong.
Craig, thanks for this. Appreciate it. The opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference. Throw that around. People will be impressed. Okay.
I'm with you.
Okay.
Thanks,
Craig. Appreciate it. Every time I say that, we get about a million submissions into the Delaney's Okay Tyron Langley inbox telling me how much they hate it when I say that.
Yeah.
So naturally, I say it. You know what I haven't done yet is the poll question.
Oh.
We've had a crazy day here. We'll deal with that next. It has to do with the Canucks and Jim Rutherford, Donnie and Dolly, the team on check.
Donnie and Dolly, the team is supported by AbleAuctions.ca. Closing your business? We can help.
We haven't dealt with it yet. We'll do that now. Bet99.net poll question. Every game starts at Bet99.net. And our poll question has to do with the article released yesterday in the Pittsburgh Tribune on Jim Rutherford as the Penguins and Canucks play tonight.
That's it, Donnie. Our bet99.net poll question. Which management group deserves more blame for the Canucks' current struggles? 2,000 votes already. Why? Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because, like, this is the most response we've gotten on a poll question, and we're having a lot of technical difficulties.
Do we
have more people checking us out
on
now
Twitter
when we have technical difficulties than normally? Maybe we should come up with this all the time.
Yeah. Jim Benning is getting 79.7% of the blame.
Jim, you love that.
No, just stop. Just stop. Jim did a lot. Every manager, every GM, I don't care what you say, Don. Mm-hmm. If you're there 6 years, six or 16, every GM does good things. He does bad things. Rutherford's at 20%. Benning's at 79%. 2,000 plus votes already. It's hopping. It's popping.
I'm surprised this is that one-sided. Obviously, Jim Benning has a larger body of work in Vancouver than Jim Rutherford. I just feel a lot of anger out there because of the JT Miller extension, because of the Brock Besser extension,
well,
because of the public criticism of the head coach and his structure. So I thought it would be a little closer than that, but a lot of ill feelings still towards Jim Benning, obviously.
Well, and I think it has a lot to do with the bad contracts, Myers, Pearson, Garland,
yeah, but Miller and Besser could be considered bad contracts too.
Yeah, big time. And Brian Burke told us this morning that, look, teams are capped out. It's a tough environment to move bad contracts. And I think people in Vancouver, I will tell you this, you think Rutherford hasn't tried to move Myers? I was told the other day, Myers, there's zero interest. If everybody in Vancouver thinks he's a giveaway machine and everyone knows he's got a bad contract, don't you think the other
maybe
30...
what they should do is give him away.
Yeah. Okay.
Giveaway machine?
The team... No. Okay. I was going to... But in order to get rid of a bad contract, you had me there. You got to give away first-round, second-round picks as, what do they call them, sweeteners.
Yeah.
And the Canucks, they can't do that. They can't do that because they're not getting rid of their firsts anymore. They're not doing it.
And as for OEL's contract, that's just not movable, is it?
No.
Or is what about the possibility of a buyout?
No. I've been told, though, I know it's early. I fully expect buyouts in Vancouver this summer. They gotta if they can't move these guys, but they're gonna try.
OEL's a tough buyout because his buyout, the length of the buyout would extend past the length of the contract.
Yeah,
like what is there 4 years left? I think the buyout would last another 6 or 7 or 8 years. So that's tough. A fine defenseman. I think so anyway. Not worth what he's getting.
But he didn't. Vancouver didn't sign him to that contract. The Arizona Coyotes.
No, but they picked it up.
Was,
and that's the previous regime.
Yeah, hold it, Ryan. The Canucks didn't sign OEL to his contract.
Yeah, but Rick, they knew. It's not like a mystery thing.
But if you
thing.
Look at that trade,
yeah. Like what do you
we're
expect?
Getting rid-
there was an envelope, and they grabbed it.
Jim, you can trade for this player. What does he make
behind door number 3?
I don't know.
Yeah,
come
we're
on,
getting
man.
Rid of our junk. We'll take some of yours. It was of a deal, Ryan.
No, it wasn't, Rick.
Okay, but we all know it. It's in the past. Did you want to say something? You look like you wanted
to. Well, no, but just because Rick just mentioned the Brian Burke interview, and we just got a text. And so a lot of people, of course, are joining us for the first time since early in the 10 o'clock hour. So I want to mention that if you are tuning into us now, all of our interviews today, as normal, will be on our YouTube account and the Check Plus app. Also, our full podcast will be out as normal, and a full replay of the show as normal will be on the Check Plus app and also replayed tonight at 11:30 on Check, maybe another time, but for sure that's what we know for today. So if you missed our Brian Burke interview, which most people did because we've been streaming only since the 10 o'clock hour, you can catch that full interview. And he had some very interesting things to say about the Vancouver market and about stress level and all of that that you guys have been talking about today. That'll be on our YouTube account soon.
And Brian also mentioned the media and social media in Vancouver and how bad it is and how to avoid it if you're the GM of the Canucks or a president of the Canucks or an assistant GM of the Canucks. He talked about that.
Why would you want to avoid the media?
The schizo. What did you call it?
He called it the schizo.
Schizo.
No, I mean, it's like you're promoting avoiding the media. You're part of the media.
He's talking about if you're a GM in this market, don't listen to the outside noise.
No, here's the approach anybody should take when it comes to being a head coach, a player, or management of the Vancouver Canucks, that you have to accept it. And realize that it's better that people care than what did we just talk to Craig about? Indifference. It's better that they care than they don't care.
Yeah.
And you're going through some tough times. It's reality. You got a pretty good life going. Get a good paycheck. Get better.
Yep.
That's the only thing. When people say all that negative media or the negative fan base,
look at the standings.
It's been what are we going on? 12 years now since this team was relatively good. Like, honestly.
11 years.
Like, 2011.
Here's the stat.
Since then, it's been downhill.
Here's the stat that sticks out for me more than any other. 2015 was the last time they hosted a playoff game.
Yeah, that's it.
And let's be honest.
2020 didn't count. Sorry.
Well, in 2015, I mean.
And 2015 was a disappointment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, fans knew then that was a mirage.
Oh, here we go with the mirage.
Donnie, come on.
They had home ice advantage in that playoff series, 101 points.
101 points.
I think a lot of people, even the market was fooled. I was.
Yeah.
Maybe not you, Mr. Hockey.
Sorry. Maybe I was too, I guess.
Ryan, they had 101 points. And
yeah,
it was
okay.
Downhill. And it was, you're right. Mirage might be the right word. But a lot of people, including myself, I'll throw myself under the bus here, believed that, hey, maybe there's something here. There wasn't.
I'm just saying, what do you read more into? The 101 points or the fact they were swept?
But weak teams don't get 101 points.
That to me sums up the season more.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm talking about going into the
playoffs. No, but that backs up the mirage thing. That, yeah, you were able to get 101 points. Congratulations. Playoff hockey showed you probably what your team really was.
Anyway.
And you didn't read from that. And you bring that up all the time.
It's been 8 years since they hosted a playoff game. That's a long stretch for the Canucks.
For a Canadian market?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But they would have in the bubble. It was in Edmonton, so that's different too.
Yeah, no
well,
fans.
If COVID
were there.
Doesn't happen, they might not even make the playoffs anyway.
And there's the play-in tournament,
right?
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And the Minnesota Victory.
You tell us about Able Auctions, and then you tell us about Pastime Sports, or the other way around, whatever you want to do.
Did you get the card up?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks for telling me.
Do you want to do Pastime or Able?
Here, I'll do Able.
No, Donnie goes first.
Donnie and Dolly is presented by Able Auctions. Thursday, Able will conduct a multi-industry auction, including six brand-new mini excavators, several sea containers.
Oh, so nice.
You've got one in your backyard.
I love these things. They're beautiful.
A portable office building.
Is this like a My Strange Addiction thing you got there, Rick?
No. I grew up on a farm.
I
grew up on a farm. I know this stuff.
Think of the things you could do with that excavator. office building, the contents of an AV rental company, commercial kitchen equipment, commercial laundry equipment, and a lot more. For information on this auction, other auctions, or to get your business assets sold at auction, go to ableauctions.ca. ableauctions.ca. What do you got? Some business.
All right, Pastime Sports, your place for the newest card drop sports memorabilia from any era, autographed items, trading cards, collectible games. Look at this, all available. One of their four locations. You got Langley, you got Metrotown, Tawasin Mills, Guildford Mall. January 30th, Canucks legend Trevor Linden, the guy that said, do the rebuild in 2017, and he was ignored. Anyways, you'll be at Guildford Mall 4 to 6 for an exclusive autograph event. Get all the details about this event and browse their massive collection at pastimesports.ca. What's in front of the laptop, Ryan?
Now, I expect Canuck fans to be respectful, but imagine the things that are going to be said to Trevor at Pastime.
Hey,
Trevor, what's Aquilini like?
Just stop. You're going to get
what
an
if
autograph.
Trevor's just,
what, if happen?
What if Trevor's going to go up and say, Trevor, sign this. You're not going to ask him about Aquilini. Come on.
What if he's just
somebody
sitting
might.
There, cigar, laughing at this whole thing? That would be.
Hey, hold it. You don't think he is laughing?
Still smoking at Guildford Mall.
Yeah. 5 years after Trevor was let go, and they're still right exactly where they were when he was there.
In front of the laptop.
Worse. Yeah, they're worse.
They are worse. In front of the laptop, the Seahawks mini helmet. Of course, Seahawks Niners this Saturday as the playoffs begin.
Yeah, thanks.
And the card today, the Canucks are in Pittsburgh tonight. So I chose a Paul Coffey Pittsburgh Penguins card.
Paul Coffey. I like it because Paul Coffey, people forget that he was not only a member of, he's a member of a lot of teams, not only a member of the Stanley Cup winning Edmonton Oilers, but also the Stanley Cup winning Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah.
I think he would be considered one of the great defensemen in Penguins history, but you don't think of him as a Penguin.
Yeah, you think of
Pittsburgh Penguin.
Paul Coffey was everybody's favorite.
Yeah.
Paul, you've really changed. Since the last time I saw you, you're now a Penguin.
Are you finished?
Okay,
are we good? So what are we doing here? We got some newfangled way of throwing break.
We're going to go to break.
You don't hear newfangled very much anymore.
No, you don't. We're going to go to break, but our break is just going to be music. So like our intro, or like our normal music. So it's going to be shorter than usual.
Like at a doctor's office?
No,
explain.
No.
Like 80s music? What do you
think? It's going to be Rick singing for the next 3.5 minutes. No, it's just our loop. That Derek plays. He plays our loop.
Okay. So
we're going to take a small pause.
Yeah.
Then we'll come back
with DTMZ.
Yeah.
Donnie and Dolly, the team on check.
It's 11:34 on a Tuesday morning. Donnie and Dolly on Check TV. Now time for DTMZ, brought to you by the world-famous Whistler Golf Club. Go see Big Al out there. Great track, great track.
As Rick said, DTMZ brought to you by the Arnold Palmer Design Whistler Golf Club, celebrating 40 years of public play in 2023. Book your group of 12 or more now, and the group organizer plays for free. Send us your group details and requests at whistlergolf.com/groups. I've lost my notes here. Here we go. I want to talk about Prince Harry. Let's save that for tomorrow.
Prince?
No, Princess Harry. Prince Harry, yes.
Oh, well, I thought you meant Purple Rain Prince. Not Prince.
And where does Harry come in?
I didn't
stop
hear
it right
Harry.
There.
I just heard Prince. Anyways, go.
Okay. All right. Okay. Compose yourself. The Golden Globe Awards, Rick.
Yeah.
Golden Globe Awards. After a period of controversy, remember this?
Yep.
The Hollywood Foreign Press.
Will Smith.
Accused of ethical lapses and a lack of diversity. You heard about it. It wasn't Will Smith.
Oh,
or Prince.
That was the Oscars.
Yeah.
Oh, the Oscars, right.
And the Globes returning to the airwaves tonight in Los Angeles.
Nice.
Hollywood Foreign Press, like, what, close to 200 members? None of them are black?
Yeah.
No kidding, there was a problem. The Banshees of Inisherin. I haven't talked about this yet. Have you seen this movie?
I went 5 minutes into it and I stopped.
I saw it over the holidays. Best movie I've seen in years. Tremendous.
Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell. Not Will Farrell.
No, Colin. Or Prince.
The Banshees of Inisherin leads the movie pack at the Globes. 8 nominations. Abbott Elementary. Haven't seen it. Tops on the TV nomination side with 3. But you've got to check this out. You're Irish, aren't you?
Scottish.
No, you're Scottish. Okay.
I haven't seen the trailer. I don't even know anything about it. It sounds highbrow.
No, it's not. Have you seen it, Derek, by any chance?
No, Derek is...
I have not. I've watched Abbott at Elementary, though.
Yeah, he's watching that right now, actually.
Yeah, that's quite good.
While we're doing the show?
It's Office-esque, right, Derek? Like The Office? You know the show The Office?
Yep, same style.
It's got a lot of love.
Same style.
A lot of love.
Yeah, my best friend Marcus and his wife, they watch it. And they keep telling Kelsey and I we need to start it, but...
Get back to me on that.
I will.
Meanwhile, Banshees of Inisherin, 3 thumbs up.
I don't want to know. Never mind.
Yeah. You don't want to know what the 4th one is doing. Okay. We good?
Yeah.
Birthdays?
Let's go.
Okay. Talk amongst yourself. In line with
Rick?
The way today's going.
How
I
haven't got
Here we go. I got
the Rick, are we on the air? Are we on the air?
How are you today, Rick?
Oh, lovely. Couldn't be better.
Okay. 6 birthdays, January 10th.
Mm-hmm. That's it?
It's a low number. That's it. I apologize. Although this birthday might include the most significant birthday in the world of sports.
Wow.
Is it 6 yours?
Birthdays, no.
Okay.
January 10th, the line is set at 6 by 4-foot Randy's, and we've got a graphic. 4-foot Randy's Exotic Pets, Chili House, and Casino in Mount Pearl, Newfoundland. Is this from...
It's
Island
not
Joe?
From Island Joe. Island Joe
Pete.
Has
Pete
gone silent. Yeah, this is Pete in Calgary.
In Calgary.
There's 4-foot Randy in front of a cauldron.
Yeah.
Making his chili.
A lot of clip art involved here, I think.
Chili House and Casino.
Awesome. And who is that again, Pete?
Pete in Calgary.
Well, we thank Pete in Calgary for going all
good
out
man.
For us. We
good
appreciate
man.
That. What? Where's Island Joe? Is he mad at us?
I that's what
vacation.
I'm worried about.
How do you know he's not on vacation? He could be in Hawaii, Mexico, anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 6 birthdays. Rock and roll, and here it is. The greatest player in the history of the National Hockey League.
Wayne Gretzky.
Gordie Howe.
Nickname, the Big M.
Oh, Frank Mahovlich.
Pete Mahovlich.
Frank Mahovlich.
Frank
Mahovlich. Frank.
My hero growing up.
Yeah.
Undrafted Kraken goalie from North Vancouver.
Yeah, also Martin Jones.
American defenseman playing his 14th season with the Capitals. Number 74.
Yeah, Carlson.
English singer-songwriter. His 1976 hit, Tonight's the Night, Gonna Be All Right.
Phil Collins.
Spent 8 weeks, on top of the Billboard Top 100. Other hits include Hot Legs and Do You
Rod
Think
Stewart?
I'm Sexy? Yeah.
Oh, Rod Stewart. He was so good. Rod Stewart.
You're a big fan.
Not as good as
Phil Collins.
Some guys have all the luck, great song.
Yeah.
Rod Stewart was the best.
I think he's coming here,
he had
too.
He had that
Speaking
raspy.
Of Scottish,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he had the raspy...
a grit voice, and his son played for the Spokane Chiefs of the Western Hockey.
Really?
Yeah.
You want to run through his entire bio here? Let's keep going.
I loved Rod Stewart. He was the best.
I have a Rod story that I'll share
friend,
with you one
day. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I got a couple.
Right up there with the BAP story. Two-time world heavyweight boxing champion, Olympic gold medalist, ordained minister, and grill salesman.
George Foreman.
There you go. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame singer and songwriter. Her hits include Heartbreaker and Hit Me With Your Best Shot.
Oh, Pat Benatar.
80s, boom, he's there.
Is that
it? Rod Stewart. That's it. Okay. Yeah, six. You guys did well. The line was set at six by 4 Foot Randy.
Rod Stewart was great.
He was. Pat Benatar also.
Oh, right. She was really good.
She's still around, 70 years old.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we have, is it just me coming up next? I know we have a submission from Stephen Cloverdale. And she's going to play us out for September of 1980 in the album Crimes of Passion. This is Pat Benatar, and Hit Me With Your Best Shot on Check, your 80s rock and roll authority on a BC Tuesday morning. Is It Just Me next? Donnie and Dolly, the team, it's on Check. Hey everyone, it's Donnie and Dolly, and we're looking to partner with your company.
We have several packages and price points to fit your budget and spread the word about your company on the show, in our podcast, and on social media.
We'd love to get involved with your company. Call 250-880-2282 or email advertise@checkmedia.ca. Is It Just Me? Brought to you, as always, by Quinsam Communications Group. Maybe we can hire them to help out with our technical difficulties, Rick. Located in the salmon capital of the world, Campbell River, and now servicing the West Coast Island communities, stay tuned for updates on their new location opening in Port Alberni. For more info, visit quinsamcommunicationsgroup.ca. Quinsam Communications Group, connecting people through technology. Both Quinsam locations now have Donnie and Dolly merchandise, including hats, hoodies, T-shirts, and more.
Oh, look at that.
Have they rectified the sizing issues, do we know, Ryan?
No.
We haven't got any more sizes, like double XL. We go up to extra large at the moment.
Well, we're working on it.
Yeah. And shout out again to Moreno and everyone at Team Sales who handles our store and our merchandise. They do amazing work.
Agreed.
Rick, I got a birthday I got to get in first. Happy birthday to Brendan in New Westminster, my old stomping grounds. Brandon's mom sent that in, Donnie. Big fan of the show, Brendan, in New Westminster, and happy birthday to you.
I thought you were going to start singing there for a second.
No, it's at New Westminster, a beautiful place, the old stomping grounds, Donnie.
Is It Just Me? From Don and Sycamoose. If Mr. Tubesteak became the sponsor of the Whitecaps, it could only mean that every time the Caps enter the field, the speakers would be blasting ZZ Top's Tubesteak Boogie.
Yeah.
That's it, right. It would be up there with Patrick Hernandez, Born to Be Alive. Don Sycamoose, we love you. And
love
he's
you.
A regular contributor on Is It Just Me? It's Tubesteak Boogie.
Tubesteak.
Tubesteak.
Oh, snake, not steak. Oh, I see what you mean. Tubesteak.
And we'll explain it to you after the show.
ZZ Top, Eliminator, one of the great albums of all
but
time.
But you could have some fun with it. You could just inject the word steak in there.
Yeah.
It would work.
Or maybe ZZ Top can be on the Whitecaps jerseys. Who knows? I got one here, Donnie.
Bell's no longer in front of the
The Whitecaps are looking for a new sponsor.
They're no longer a jersey sponsor.
Or Lululemon. Stephen Cloverdale. Thomas Drantz was saying Barry Trotz is the Canucks' new head coach. Your thoughts, Donnie and Rick? First of all, it's not going to be Barry Trotz.
That's a well-crafted question there.
First of all, it's not Barry Trotz. Second of all, Trotz and Bruce Boudreau, they got the same agent. I highly doubt that agent, knowing the way the Canucks have treated Boudreau, would actually put Trotz in Vancouver. So, Thomas, give your head a shake, Drantz. And also, one name I'm hearing more and more in the last couple of weeks, Donnie, Rick Tocchet.
Right.
His name is, for some odd reason, and I'm not saying he's the new head coach of the Canucks. I'm just saying, for some odd reason, I keep hearing his name a lot. That's all I'm saying.
Decent success with Arizona. Now, you tell me, when you hear Rick Tocchet, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend I followed the Coyotes religiously when he was their head coach,
yeah.
But was he known for his structure?
Well,
was he known as a coach who emphasizes defense?
Yeah, that's a good question. But I would say to you, the last 10 years, the Coyotes have been awful. Any coach there is going to have tough times with structure when that team has been as bad as it has been for the last 10 years.
Yeah, and doing a pretty good job on television these days.
Yeah.
Rick talking. Ben and Prince George, is it just me, but you can just play Rick breathing for the duration of the break.
No, there's no breathing issues here.
So we have had issues with our breaks, and we've been playing our generic opening music.
Yeah.
But what about just your breathing?
I have no breathing issues. That's a good thing, though.
Ben's having some fun with
him. Yeah, I know. Ben's a good guy.
Play with him.
And up in Prince George. I love Prince George. I was there in a short period of time in 96.
No, wait, is there a town in Canada that you haven't lived in?
I was
honestly.
Squamish. Prince George, Fort St. John, Wetaskiwin, Alberta. I did the tour, Donnie. You did the tour. Ryan didn't do the tour. Don't tell his mom because she'll rip into us.
I will never do that again.
Donnie and I paid our dues all over BC, Alberta. We paid our dues.
Christmas dinner. We had a little Christmas gathering, and you and I mentioned that we paid our dues up north.
Ms. Henderson
us. Ryan paid his dues, too. He spent a week at BCIT.
I love Mr. and Mrs. Henderson. They were wonderful people.
You still don't know their first
name.
You love them so much you fell on top of them at one point in the evening.
I shook your dad's hand. I accidentally fell on him. Big deal.
Fell asleep for 20 seconds, I think.
Yeah, it was more than 20 seconds. I got this one here. Is it just me? The start of the show today was the same as the Canucks. Both no-shows.
Mm-hmm.
Shoe Schwab Scott. We're getting ripped today.
So we can no longer rip into the Canucks for getting off to a bad start in games.
And everyone's ripping us. Okay, go ahead and take your shots. Today was a BC Hydro issue. I love BC Hydro more than anyone else. Those guys going up those poles, Donnie, you see them. It's not easy. 30, 40 feet up.
And the cherry pickers.
You know, they use that thing and they go up the poles. I got respect for BC Hydro, but today, I'm telling you, Donnie, that was their fault. Yeah. Not Czechs, not ours. They cut the power in Czech and Victoria for a whole block. That screwed us.
So it was the guys in the
not the guys, but it was a BC Hydro issue today, and I love those guys.
Oh my gosh! Okay, is it just me, Matt the Carpenter? I'm with Donnie on the meatloaf take. I'm a big loaf guy. We had a
meatloaf.
Long discussion on meatloaf. I made a meatloaf for my boys on the weekend.
They didn't like it.
They hated it. And it was pretty good. I thought it was pretty good. An old school meal, and I just got ripped to shreds.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to the meatloaf?
Yeah.
On tomorrow's show.
I agree.
We got to take a break. Okay. We'll take a break. More Is It Just Me's, and hopefully we'll wrap up the show and the poll question next. Donnie and Dolly, the team on check. Bet99.net, a poll question, an article that came out yesterday, the Pittsburgh Tribune, focusing on Jim Rutherford, talking about how he's dealing with stress and wasn't totally sure he wanted to continue with hockey after leaving the Penguins organization.
Yeah, but, you know, Brian Burke told us he knows Rutherford inside out. There's no way that guy's quitting. I think Jimmy's here to stay and fix this problem in Vancouver. Our bet99.net poll question, Donnie.
Jimmy, huh?
Well, you said Petey last week, so I can't say
that's
Jimmy.
That's a little different.
Petey is not different. If you're going to bust my balls for saying Jimmy, what about you saying Petey? Anyways.
What about those Hydro guys?
BC Hydro, I love those guys. Which management group deserves more blame for the Canucks' current struggles? Benny and Jim Benning at 79, Jim Rutherford at 20, Dunny, and it's hopping over 2,200 votes.
Okay.
That's tracking for over 4,000 today.
Unbelievable.
Today's been a wacky day. No question about it, Dunny.
Yeah, some of it was on the air, too. Business.
Right now?
Yes.
If you missed any of today's show, you can catch full replays of Donnie Dolly and the Check Plus app or watch your interviews on YouTube. Just search for Donnie and Dolly, one of Victoria's favorite local restaurants, 10 minutes from the ferry terminal, two-time number one pub in Victoria, invites you to see why they're a go-to watering hole, the Waddling Dog Pub, the best place for the Canucks NHL action and the Seahawks, 49ers Saturday. That's the place to be. On swing by their attached liquor store, pick up your Donnie and Dolly swag. Countless reasons to come sit and stay at the Waddling Dog. When you get there, you'll see Brandon, Dom, and Anita the Ant.
There you go. Hello to Anita.
Is it just me? A couple more. Burning in Fraser Valley, is it just me, but I would suggest Ryan is currently paying his dues working with YouTube. And Bernie says he's a loyal watcher. So he knows what he's talking about.
So is Bernie saying his stress levels are high and
I think Jim Rutherford is saying that, actually.
Yeah, okay.
Is it just me? I love meatloaf. This is from Chef Swagger from Hell's Kitchen. He's a chef.
Chief Swagger.
He loves meatloaf. He actually made it this weekend, one of my favorite meals to make on a rainy Sunday in the fall/winter.
Chief Swagger.
Try some meatloaf.
Good guy.
Why are we on meatloaf again? That was yesterday's
subject. Yesterday. You made it on the weekend.
What do you got?
Is OEL trade the worst trade in Canucks history, NHL history in the cap era, New West Darren?
You got an opinion on that, Rick?
Are you singling out OEL? Because just as bad is the OEL contract, is the ninth overall pick the Canucks sent Arizona's way.
That's, so you would agree?
Yeah, okay.
Well, Cam Neely is generally regarded as the worst trade in Canucks history.
Because he ended up a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And he was right here, Maple Ridge native.
From the Vancouver area.
Maple Ridge native, Portland Winterhawks, right here in your own backyard, and you let him go.
And I know a lot of people disagree with this because the Canucks wouldn't necessarily have picked Dylan Gunther, but we saw what he did for Team Canada. If he goes on to have a very successful NHL career, it's going to be talked about, guaranteed. Canucks and Penguins tonight in Pittsburgh as Vancouver continues its 5-game road trip. Thanks for tuning in, folks. On behalf of Ryan, Derek, Rick, everybody here at Oh Boy and Check, I'm Don. You're up to date in the world of sports.
Thanks for listening to the Donnie and Dolly podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @Donnie and Dolly for all the latest show content.